Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
How do we, as Christians, proclaim the glorious freedom for all as the promise of the gospel when our own churches are full of the same kind of division and strife among races and peoples that exists in the secular world? One of the shortest books in the Bible addresses this matter in a marvelous way. Yet few readers of the Bible have even seen this aspect of a story about an escaped slave and his master, as told by the Apostle Paul himself during his imprisonment in Rome. Brother Ed Marks is here. Ed, I love this little book, and I think what we have before us today is something so profound and easy to overlook, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Chris, and this is really quite an amazing revelation in this short book of just one chapter. Chris, I would just like to mention in advance that we'll hear this in the radio program, but in the true church, which is the one new man, you know, there's actually all the races, social statuses, cultures, nationalities, and colors have been annulled, where Christ is all and in all. And I would just like to mention, Ephesians and Colossians and Philemon were written around the same time, AD 64. Mm-hmm. And first of all, I'd like to mention Ephesians because the listeners might not realize what the one new man is. But in Ephesians 2:15, it says that on the cross, Christ abolished in his flesh the law of the commandments and ordinances that he might create the two, the Jews and the Gentiles, in himself into one new man, so making peace. So the church is the one new man. If you go back to verse 10, it says that the one new man is the masterpiece of God.
Right, right.
And so this word masterpiece in the Greek is the Greek word poema, which means a work of art, a poem that expresses the maker's wisdom and design. So the church as the new man comprising all the believers of all different races and social statuses and backgrounds is a work of art in God's sight that expresses his infinite wisdom and divine design. So here you have in Philemon an illustration of the believer's equal status in the new man. You have a slave running away from his master, Philemon, Onesimus, running away from Philemon. He winds up in a prison with Paul. At the same time, Paul is writing about the new man in Ephesians and Colossians. And so you have an illustration of the new man here. I would just like to read a few verses from this epistle, just so we get an idea, Chris, of what's going on here. This begins with verse 10. Paul says to Philemon, he says, I entreat you concerning my child, whom I have begotten in my bonds, Onesimus, who formerly was useless to you, but now is useful both to you and to me. Him I have sent back to you, him that is my very heart. So Onesimus, in Paul's eyes, was his very heart.
Wow.
He was so affectionate towards someone who got saved through him. Then he said, whom I intended to keep with myself, that on your behalf he might minister to me in the bonds of the gospel. But without your mind, I did not want to do anything, that your goodness would not be as of necessity, but voluntary. For perhaps for this reason he was separated from you but for an hour, that you might fully have him forever, no longer as a slave, but above a slave, a beloved brother. So he turns from a slave to a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then you hold me as a partner, receive him as myself. And if he has wronged you in anything or owes anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, have written with my own hand, I will repay, not to say that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, may I have profit from you in the Lord, refresh my inward parts in Christ. Chris, where Paul said that you owe me even your own self besides, this indicates that Philemon had been saved through Paul himself. So not only...
Both of them.
Yeah, both of them. Not only had Onesimus been saved through Paul and become reborn to be a brother, Philemon had been saved through Paul and had become a brother. So now they have an equal status.
Ed, wonderful background and contextualizing of what we're about to get into today. This story has just become so much more than I had ever perceived it before in this message. I really pray that all of our listeners will have that same experience today, because we're touching something here so profound and deep in the heart of God, this matter of the new man, and how it is just marvelously portrayed in this story of Paul in prison, joined by this escaped slave whom he had led to the Lord, whose master Paul had also led to the Lord at the time he is writing Ephesians and Colossians and unveiling this matter of the new man. God's arrangement, wisdom are just sublime.
Yeah, it's truly amazing. Truly amazing, Chris.
Okay, let's join Witness Lee with our first portion, then we'll have a chance to have more fellowship.
The subject of this book is an illustration of the believer's equal status in the new man. You read this book, apparently it doesn't talk about the status of the believers. Actually, it really touches the heart of this matter. Paul was not in Colossae. Paul was far away in the prison of Rome. And one of his co-prisoners was brought to the Lord and was begotten by him in the Spirit. Amen. To be not just a believer of Christ, nor just a child to God, but also a dear child to himself. Wasn't there a church in Rome? I believe it was. Why then he didn't recommend this one, the local church there? Not only there was a church in Rome, but also there was one in Colossae. And this indicates that the churches, as the expression of the body of Christ, are universal. Even in that ancient time, it was so far away, and the transportations were not so convenient as they are today. In the ancient time, it might take a few weeks to get there. And this was something sovereign to carry out the commission that God has given to Paul, and also to carry out Paul's desire to see a new man on this earth. In chapter 3 of Colossians, Paul stressed that all the believers are the new man. There's no Greek, no Jew. Especially, Paul says, there's no bond and no free. Philemon was a free one, and this Onesimus was a bond servant to him. My, what nullified that kind of ranks? Well, not by a constitutional way, not by way of law, but by an inner constitution, the constitution of Christ's life. Christ's life has been constituted into Philemon, and the same life, the same element, has been constituted into his slave, Onesimus. According to the flesh, one is a master, free. The other is a slave, bound. But according to the inner constitution, both are the same.
Ed, when you were speaking a moment ago about Ephesians chapter 2, about this matter of the middle wall of partition or division, also being destroyed on the cross, along with our sins, the enemy, and all that opposes God and his purpose. But this is a part of the gospel that I think is very often overlooked, isn't it? That the divisions between people on the earth that are so distressing and so problematic were also an aspect of the liberation and the freedom that's in Christ. And it took such a tender, loving story here to make this illustration so poignant.
That's right, Chris. This is a great part of the gospel, that the church as the body of Christ is the one new man. And Chris, one of the main texts that Brother Lee pointed out is Colossians 3, 10 and 11, where it exhorts us to put on the new man. Then it says, where there cannot be Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is all and in all. Those words, where there cannot be, indicate there's no possibility. There's no room for any natural person in the new man. There's no room for any race in the new man.
Right.
There's no room for any nationality in the new man. There's no room for any culture in the new man, because in the new man, it's a race of Christ men. Men who are filled with Christ, who live Christ, who enjoy Christ, who are found in Christ. And so Christ is our nationality. Christ is all and in all. That means Christ is all the members and in all the members in the new man. And as Brother Lee pointed out, what annuls all the social rank, nationality, color, and culture is that we all have the same life. We have the life of Christ. We have the element of Christ. We have the nature of Christ. Therefore, we are all brothers in Christ. And Chris, it's amazing. I know that you have the same experience, that in our church life experience, when we come to the meetings, we see people from all backgrounds and cultures.
Right, right.
And there's no such thing. You know, we're not saying anything against our brothers in Christ, but strictly speaking, there's no such thing as a Korean church or a Chinese church or a African-American church or a Caucasian church, because the church includes all the races, which have been actually nullified in Christ, being all the members and in all the members.
It's somewhat like, as he was writing Colossians, he was living this story. And so he wrote, I think, this letter, and Witness Lee in the life study mentions at some point, it's almost as if Philemon was a continuation of Colossians, because what he's writing about there in 3:11, he's illustrating with the way he is recommending Onesimus back to Philemon. And Ed, you know, this matter really was kind of, I don't know, but it seems to me, of all the writers of the New Testament, the three main writers at least, Paul, John, and Peter, Paul uniquely saw this matter of the new man. And we don't read about it so directly in the writings of the others. And even this matter plagued the church at the time, in the first century, right? They had a tendency to gravitate back toward the Jewish believers had a kind of a Jewish church, and the Gentile believers were practicing a kind of a Gentile church. And Paul, it seems, his heart was heavy laden with this burden to blend, not to tell them you have to be more inclusive, but actually he's saying you have to be more exclusive. You're still making room for your Jewishness and your Gentileness, but there is no room for any of those things in the new man.
That's right, Chris. And it's just amazing to me how this illustration shows that this slave of Philemon's was now saved through Paul. He became Paul's very heart.
Yeah, what a
you know,
term.
What a,
yeah.
What an intimate term. He sends him back to Philemon, no longer as a slave, but as Philemon's brother in the Lord, with an equal status in the new man.
Wow. Hey.
It's actually a beautiful illustration, Chris. And Chris, I know you've been to Russia. I'm just using Russia as an example. When you go over there and you're with the brothers and sisters there, you just feel at home.
Yeah.
You just feel there's no difference because
right.
We're in the one new man. You don't feel that they're Russian brothers and sisters, we're American brothers and sisters. You just feel like
we're
Christ is all and in all.
Right. And what we treasure is the Christ in one another.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, let's go back to this matter of the recommendation of Onesimus by the apostle. Here's Witness Lee.
You look into the situation. This was recommendation of a brother in a remote city with the church there, to a brother in another remote city with a church there. This indicates the recommendation is something in the new man. Colossians 3:11. In the new man, only in the new man. You see, there's no bound, no free. Now, I recommend a bound one to a free one, and helping them both to realize they are just equal. Just equal. They are brothers. They are equal. One has to be received, and the other has to receive. This is an illustration of the equal status in the new man. As long as we realize these, we have no problem with different social ranks. We have no problem with nationalities. We have no problem with races. We have no problem with different peoples. All the different colors representing all the different races all have been nullified already. It has been nullified on the cross. Paul strongly taught this. And this is a part of the full knowledge of the truth. The truth is just the contents of God's New Testament economy concerning Christ and the church. As long as we still have the subtle colors, then we are somewhat reprobate to the truth. We don't hold the full knowledge of the truth. Paul was a Jew. For him to say, there is no Jew in the new man, not so easy. But he said it. And this was a part of the full knowledge of the truth. In the practice of the New Testament economy of God, one thing is crucial. As long as the ranks in the society and the races among the nations still exist in the practical church life, this nullifies the new man. This kills the new man. This nullifies the proper, genuine church life.
Brother Ed, this is really striking to me. This last sentence, this last bit that we just heard, as long as these ranks and races still exist in the practical church life, this nullifies the new man. On the cross, Christ nullified all of those distinctions. But yet, what consciousness do we have in our being as we come to the church and we are un-nullifying those distinctions and thereby nullifying what he died to produce, to create this masterpiece of God, the new man? Our conscience won't allow us, if we're, you know, actively engaging in some moral sin or some breaking of the law, we come to the church, we're convicted. We realize we have to repent and deal with that. But we're not so hard on ourselves in some of these other matters, are we?
No, we're not, Chris. And we need to realize that this is a great, great part of the gospel, that on the cross, Christ nullified all the racial distinctions, everything of culture, everything of nationality, everything of race has been nullified and crucified on the cross. And now Christ is all the believers and he's in all the believers. He's the life of all the believers. And Chris, just in a practical way, I remember we used to have a saying that grace swallows up race. Grace swallows up
race. I remember that. I heard that.
And grace, the definition of grace is God in Christ as the Spirit for our enjoyment. So when we are really enjoying the Lord, when we're loving the Lord, when we say, Lord Jesus, I love you, and we're enjoying him to the uttermost, race is swallowed up in us. We don't have a consciousness of race.
Right.
I know in our experience, Chris, sometimes someone will say, brother so-and-so is Chinese, and we just have to do a double take because we don't even think of him that way. We just think of him as a brother. You know, Chris, I was taking care of a new brother, and he came to one of our meetings, and he just shed tears, and he said he saw the body of Christ for the first time when he looked out, and he saw all the races enjoying the Lord together. It was a real gospel to him, a gospel of the one new man.
Ed, I have to confess, as a 21, just turning 22-year-old young man, I got saved But honestly, this was the thing that actually captured me. Of course, I had received my salvation, but when I saw this same thing, something deep in my being just registered. Only in Christ is this possible. No amount of human negotiation, human institution, political policy, or any government program can bring about what we're discussing and experiencing here. This is really, should be, a gospel that's proclaimed loudly today in this time, in this age. But let's go back to Witness Lee.
You couldn't imagine among the 66 books, there is such a little book, just one chapter, talking about a slave, just like a cattle, just like a beast, no value, no legal right at all. You tell me, is he worthwhile to talk about by the Apostle Paul? Is he worthwhile? Such a slave, like a mule, like a donkey. He got saved. Okay, leave him there. Who would talk about him? But the top apostle, my goodness, he exercised all his wisdom to read this letter. How and why the Apostle Paul would exercise such a loving concern for such a saved slave? Don't you believe he has a burden to set up an illustration among all the local churches with all the saints that all the believers are equal in the new man? And the good illustration must be the one between Onesimus and Philemon. Very good. He was so sovereign that God sent Onesimus to the prison and was saved there through Paul. This salvation accomplished a miraculous illustration. You see, one, the master, and the other, the slave. And one far away in Colossae, and the other so remote in the prison in Rome. And saved through the Apostle Paul. This was something sovereignly arranged by the Lord.
What short, we've both been enjoying this so much. I'm going to leave the time for you, but this matter of this person of no outward value, at that time equated as a mule or a beast of burden, and yet Paul calls him his heart and recommends him back to this brother with status, even an elder in the church in Colossae. And we know these letters were circulated not just to one church, but to all the churches in the region, weren't they? Paul was speaking to the whole body here.
That's right. He was speaking to the whole body. And Chris, I would like to end by reading a footnote from the Recovery Version, which will be in the Life Study, which I would like to encourage all the listeners to get,
right?
Because it's so much fuller. But it says this concerning Philemon. It says, this short epistle serves the special purpose of showing us the equality in God's eternal life and divine love of all the members in the body of Christ. In the semi-savage age of Paul, the life of Christ had annulled among the believers the strong institution of slavery. Since the sentiment of the love of the Christian fellowship was so powerful and prevailing that the evil social order among fallen mankind was spontaneously ignored, any need for institutional emancipation was obviated.
Wow.
Because of the divine birth and because they were living by the divine life, all the believers in Christ had equal status in the church, which was the new man in Christ, and in which there was no discrimination between free and bond. This was based on three facts. Christ's death on the cross abolished the ordinances of the different ways of life for the creating of the one new man. Two, we were all baptized into Christ and were made one in him without any differences. And three, in the new man, Christ is all and in all. Such a life with such a love as in equal fellowship is well able to maintain good order in the church, that's in the book of Titus, carry out God's economy concerning the church, that's in the book of 1 Timothy, and stand against the tide of the church's decline, that's in the book of 2 Timothy. It is of the Lord's sovereignty that in the arrangement of the New Testament, this epistle was positioned after the three preceding books. Isn't that a masterpiece of
a masterpiece
of utterance?
Ed, we could have saved the whole half hour and just had you open by reading that footnote and say goodbye to our listeners. No, I think it was worthwhile.
Yes.
I don't think we can spend too much time, honestly, on this topic. What a rich portion today, and I just treasure this fellowship, Brother Ed. Thank you.
Yeah, I treasure it too, Chris. And I just pray that all of our listeners would see this great truth of the one new man and practice loving all the brothers, all of our Christian brothers
right.
and sisters.
Right. Yeah, irrespective of any racial, cultural, ethnic, linguistic differences.
Exactly.
We are one body in Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Ed. That's it for today. Thanks so much for listening, and hope you join us next time.